This morning we're going to follow the theme as we have been already. What's the theme for today? Redemption. Pretty good theme, right? And for some of you, you've been in the book of Ruth. There's no other than Jesus Christ. I don't know if there's any greater biblical picture than a redeemer, that kinsman redeemer there that you see there in the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. And so just a real special thing going on there. But for our time together today, we're going to be looking at Peter and some words from 1 Peter. So if you've got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. We'll be there shortly. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along in your bulletin or on the wall also, as the text will be printed there. But before we get there, let's talk about redemption for a minute. Make sure we're all on the same page. I would say that we are, but just in case. So if we were to look up the word redeem in a dictionary, what are some definitions that we would find? Do I have an idea? All right, purchased or bought. That's right, yes. Bought back, okay. The beautiful picture there is that I'm twice his, okay. He not only created me once his, but now I've messed it up and he says, and I still want you. All right. He's the highest bid at the auction and I've bought you back again. Twice bought. What else? Redemption. To release. All right. So that's good. This idea of liberating or this idea of setting free. We're also going to see today that it's the idea kind of to make up for. All right. Have you ever had to redeem yourself? All right, we'll put ourselves in some situations. Actually, I'll put you in some situations and see if that has been true. But so that's a pretty good idea today, right? We've been bought back. There's been a price that's paid for us. We've been released, set free. We've been redeemed. And thankfully, we've been redeemed, right? Because it's something that we desperately needed. So today I want to talk to you about or talk through this idea of redemption and how it's been offered. How it's been offered to us. So have you ever received something that you really needed? I mean, somebody showed up at the right time or something happened at the right time and you're just like, oh, that's exactly what I needed. Right, maybe this week you were out shoveling some snow and got cold outside. And so somebody comes out and they give you a cup of hot chocolate. Anybody have that happen? Man, what's going on at your house? Oh, coffee. All right, so they bring you a beverage of choice. All right, maybe if you're at the end of shoveling, they bring you some ice water or sweet something cold because you're probably hot at that point. But you've received that. You've been there before, a hot summer day where you just get that refreshing drink and you're thinking, oh, that's exactly what I needed. Thank you, right? What about anybody? We're all friends here, okay? Anybody get stuck this week? All right. Somebody's telling on somebody, right? Pointing the finger quick. That's hilarious. All right, so we've had things like that happen. My neighbor got stuck this week also, and so was helping this guy get out. So have you ever been stuck before in your car in the snow or in the mud or whatever? You made a poor choice, thought you could make it through the water, and you end up stalled out, whatever. Okay, so, but somebody comes along and they give you a shove or they help you out of that situation, and you just go, oh, man, that's exactly what I needed. I thank you so much for that. Right, when people give us exactly what we need, it meets us on that deep level. Here a couple weeks ago, I was working through lunch on a Friday. I'm just studying away, writing, studying, praying, and I get a knock at my back door. And so I go to it and just open the door, and there's my wife with a little lunchbox full of lunch and a little kiss on the cheek, no words, and she left. I'm like, oh, man, that's exactly what I needed. And so I sat down and refueled and just went to studying. And so thankful for somebody who knew my need and went out of their way to meet my need. Okay? So I think we understand this idea of having something offered to us that is exactly what we need. And that's what we're going to find today from Peter. That God has seen exactly what we have needed. And he has went way out of his way to take care of our need, to show us that he's interested in us and that he cares for us and that we can receive that today. So I'm calling this the offer of redemption because it is an offer, right? An offer means that it's handed out there. It's held to you, but you and I have to receive that. So if I never receive it, then I never experience redemption. So today we're going to see what it is to be redeemed and whether or not we've truly been redeemed. I've told you before, there the church we were at before here, back in the early 2000s, there was a gentleman there who had been in that church all of his life. And in his 80s, you see this man coming forward after a service, and he prays to receive Christ as his Savior because he had never asked Jesus to save him. So here it is today. Maybe you've been sitting in churches all your life, and maybe you've never truly been redeemed. Maybe this is a new thought for you, and you've never asked Christ to save you. You've never understood the need for redemption. Whatever it is today, I pray this will work in all of our lives to remind us and encourage us and hold us accountable to hold this good word out. All right, so 1 Peter 1, if you've got a Bible, we're going to go there, and this is what we're going to find. Peter's writing to some Jewish Christians. These guys have been struggling. They've been persecuted for their faith, and he's trying to remind them of some things. He's trying to encourage them along the way. And so his words today hopefully will also serve us as great reminders. So in the first chapter, he's saying things like this. Thank God for his wonderful blessings. Thank God for his wonderful blessings. And in light of God's blessing, then live a holy life. Live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Live your life with a healthy fear of God. It's not like, oh man, he's going to strike me dead. But it's that he is a holy God. Right? He far surpasses anything that I could ever even really dream of or vision in my own mind here of his holiness and his purity. So it's having this healthy reverence and awe and respect for who God is. Also a little terror. Once again, not terror that he's going to throw me out of heaven. But when Revelation talks about the throne room, that's a little bit terrifying. It's just you and God, one-on-one. He's on the throne, you're walking in. Smoke fills the room. Right? There's thunder, there's lightning, all this stuff going on. Are you a little scared? Right? I know some of us would be a little bit scared. I'm definitely a little bit. There's terror there. Not that he's going to say, Corey, get out of heaven, but that he is just a powerful, awesome God. So coming into his presence with a healthy fear and living in light of that fear and trusting him every day along the way. All kinds of things he's saying here. He tells us, you're a pilgrim here. Jesus is coming back, so live with that in mind. Don't forget that. I know you're suffering. I know it's hard. I know life's not what you had anticipated or hoped for or expected. Things have happened to you that you don't feel like you have deserved. You're a pilgrim here. This world's not going to treat you right. I am. This is temporary. Something internal is on the way, so you just hang on. You hold on. You persevere here with me in light of my return. And then wrapped up in the middle of this is where we find this great picture of redemption. So let's go here. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 17 through 23. And he says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. For this reason he also purified your soul and obeyed the truth through the Spirit. Just something else for me to play with. All right, here, so we're talking about redemption and this offer of redemption. And what we've seen here from Peter is that it has been offered to us in a few different, well, in one different way, but it's been offered to us. It's going to show us a few different things. So let's go this morning. If you're following along in your bulletin, let's highlight this first one. Dealing with redemption. The offer of redemption, first of all, tells me that we all need to be redeemed. Okay? If it's being offered at all, it means it's offered for all. And so what we find right here from Peter is that redemption is for everybody. So to put it simple, people don't offer what is not needed. Okay? When people care about you, when people care about me, when you care for somebody else, we don't offer them things that they don't need. And so when we receive something or see an offering towards us, it tells us there's something that we need. So for example, if somebody was hungry, We wouldn't give them a chair to just sit down in, would we? Pat them on the back. Oh, just sit here and think about how hungry you are. They're there. What would we give them? We'd give them food. Why? Because that's what they need, right? And so we would see the need and we'd work to do something about it. You're hungry, we're going to give you some food. If somebody's car was broke down on the side of the road, we're not going to give them a car wash kit, right? I know your car's junk on the inside, but at least it can be pretty on the outside. Wash it up real nice. We wouldn't do that. What would we do? If we had any knowledge, we'd try to help them if it was something mechanical. If we didn't have knowledge, maybe we would call somebody for them or we might take them somewhere. We'd look for a way to help to meet their need because that's what their need is. They don't need a car wash kit. Now, what if somebody was just thirsty? If somebody was thirsty, would you hand them a pet turtle? No, we wouldn't hand them a pet turtle. Why? Because it doesn't meet their need. Okay, now I could say to you, but this turtle likes water. You need water. So just follow the fastest animal on the planet to water and you'll get a drink. Does that work? No. See, people are smarter than that. We don't pass out pet turtles when people are thirsty. We give people water. Why? Because that's what they need. Okay, so when you offer something to somebody, what that says is, here's what you don't have. Here's what I have. And I'm giving it to you. We don't offer what's not needed. We offer things that everybody needs, and it's the same way with God. See, one of the things I love about God, he's not just in heaven just throwing out random ideas and blessings like they're snowflakes or raindrops from heaven, and wherever they fall, I hope that it does something good in your life. And they're in heaven thinking, well, at least we tried. We've given out abilities, and we've thrown out gifts, and we've given away ideas and blessings. It doesn't work that way, right? God is intimately acquainted with you and I, so be encouraged today that God sees my need and your need directly. There's nothing in your life, there's no need that I have or that you have where God's not going, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to provide for you, but you've got to trust me. You've got to allow me. Okay, so when we think about God offering to us redemption, he's telling us, I have what you need. And what I have is what everyone needs. So let's go to Titus chapter 2 here for just a moment. Titus 2 also deals with this idea of redemption. Some beautiful words here about how he has cleansed us, how he has purified us, how he has put within us this zeal, that holy fire that will not be quenched by circumstances of life, that will not be distracted by hobbies of life. It's totally sold to Christ, and every day is waking up living for the Lord. These are some of the byproducts of Jesus Christ's coming, of redemption taking effect in my life. But he starts that little passage by saying, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to whom? To all men. Okay, who does all men include? It includes everybody. You're absolutely right. Paul says the same thing to Timothy. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, talking about God in verse 3, he said, God our Savior, and then we come to verse 4 here, he says, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So who has salvation been brought to? It's been brought to all people. It's for everyone, which means everybody needs it, right? You don't offer it to somebody if they don't need it. And so God has offered redemption, salvation to all because everyone needs to be saved. So, do you need air? Yes. Do we need food? Yes. We need water? Yes. Do we need rest? Yes. Do we need redemption? Yes. Above all, just like we sung about this morning, above all things, before I need my morning cup of Joe or whatever it is that I'm drinking, before I need my good night's rest, I need redemption. I need redemption. And so what is it then to be redeemed? What do I need to be redeemed from? That's something that we need to understand here. If we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, you get this picture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, and we're just going to read the second half of that verse. It says, here's what you need to be redeemed from. Redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. So what's this a reference to? What are you talking about? Right, the Bible makes clear that everybody has sinned, right? Every one of us have sinned. So how do I deal with my sin? How do I reconcile my sin? How do I take care of my sin? Peter says, don't follow the empty way of life of your forefathers, right? Who lived under the law. Galatians, we'll hit that later, says the very same thing. You've been a child under the law, and it's just been a curse to you. But here's come the fulfiller of the law, and there you find freedom. And so the idea here of following the empty way of life is thinking things like this. I think that I'm pretty good, and I think that's good enough. How does that work out with God? What about if you say, but I feel good about me? I feel good about me. What's that have to do with God reconciling us or redeeming us? Is it about you feeling good? What if you say, but I'm doing good? You just don't understand how busy I am doing good things for the Lord. Does that redeem me? No, so just because I am feeling good or doing good doesn't mean that I am good with God. It requires something beyond me. And that's going to lead us to our next point here today. The offer says everybody needs it because it's been offered to all. If it was only offered to a select few, then that would mean either you don't need it or you don't get it. Right? Which means it's not for you. Paul says it's for everybody. It's for everybody. Everybody needs to be redeemed. All right. And secondly here, so I need to be redeemed, but I cannot redeem myself. And I think this is where many people struggle today. And if you're honest with me, maybe you'll find yourself here this morning. Because I think we understand redemption. I think we just have a hard time with not being able to redeem ourselves. I understand the concept of redemption. I think I just have a hard time not being able to redeem myself. So as I said earlier, another definition for redeem is to make up for. It's the idea that I have wronged you, so let me make it up to you. Okay? I've messed up, so let me try again. Have you ever used those words? Something to that effect? Well, if you think not, maybe we'll put ourselves in some situations here for a moment. Have you ever been a part of a sports team and one day you just didn't give your best effort for whatever reason? You weren't into the game. You were sidetracked. You didn't feel good. All right. It was just a Thursday and you don't play good on Thursdays, whatever. Have you ever had that day, that moment, and you just feel like, man, I let my team down? Man, when you feel that way, you know what that competitive spirit says, but next game, I'm going to make that up. I'm going to come out and I'm going to play hard and I'm going to play smart and I'm going to give it my best and I'm going to be a good teammate because I'm trying to redeem myself. I'm trying to redeem myself. Maybe you've been on other kinds of clubs or teams and you had a role to play within that club and yet you let your team down because you failed to do your responsibility. And you said, man, I'll never do that again. You know, the next project that we have as a group, man, I am totally on board. I'm committed. I'll show up at all the meetings. I'm going to make sure I'm doing my part to make sure that thing happens. What are we trying to do? We're trying to redeem ourselves. Any of you children have ever had homework? Right? Have you ever had an assignment where you didn't give your best on your homework? And you had to come home and you talked to your mom and your dad about the grade that was on your homework? And we got all the excuses. You know, I was just so tired and I had the sniffles or my iPod was too loud or people kept calling me on my phone. And we've got all these kinds of excuses, right? But what do we say? But next time I'll do it better. I promise I'll never do that again. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to give it my very best. What are we trying to do? Trying to redeem ourselves. That's absolutely right. We're trying to redeem ourselves. Maybe it's been, as an adult, maybe it's been something with your boss. He set you aside on a project. He's put you on a team and said, this is what I want from you from this month or this quarter. And you say, yes, sir, I'm on board. Yes, ma'am, I'm on board. And so you're working hard to get this done. And when it comes the deadline, you say, well, it's just not done. What happens? Well, I let my team down, and here's why. But I promise on the next project, oh, I'm your guy, I'm your gal. You can count on me, right? What are we trying to do? Again, we're just trying to redeem ourselves. And in a lighter note, maybe some of you have been married. You've forgotten a birthday, have you? Or an anniversary? Or Valentine's Day recently? or could be a special time in your life, and you forgot to make a big deal of that. And so you kind of found yourself in the doghouse, and you said to your spouse, "Oh, I promise I'll never forget that again. I'll never forget your birthday. I'll never forget our anniversary. I'll never forget that special moment." Right? What are we trying to do? We're trying to redeem ourselves. See, I think we understand what it means to be redeemed and to work to redeem ourselves and to work hard at that. Again, I think we just struggle with this idea that I can't redeem, I can't do anything that's going to help my situation. So if we go back to verse 18 here, 1 Peter 1, the first part of that verse says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed." So what's it mean that something is perishable? All right, so it's going to rot, it's going to go bad. Does it last forever? No, so that means you cannot get a forever benefit from something that doesn't last forever. Okay, so it's not with perishable things that you have been redeemed. And so he's going to give us a great reminder here today in this truth about what it is sometimes we try to redeem ourselves with. If we all need to be redeemed, and I cannot redeem myself, still yet sometimes I feel like I should be able to do something. So we try to barter with God. "God, I've made this mess. I've committed this sin. I fell short here. I promise I won't do it again." And so we try to redeem ourselves by maybe offering him some of our best efforts, some of our better days, or maybe even some money. "So I'm going to put a little extra cash in the plate next Sunday. And that's just saying, I love you, Jesus. And I'm sorry. And it's just showing you my commitment to you." I think God knew something about our mentality. See, you and I live in a world that can be bought. Can you be bought? Somebody comes to your house after the service today and says, "I'll give you $500,000 for your house." Can you be bought? Sold. "Everything I own other than my children and my wife, sold." Somebody comes to your house and gives you $50,000 for your car. Sold again, right? Some of you children, you have your radios or you have your phone or you have your favorite toy, and somebody says, "I'll give you $1,000 for that." Would you give it up for $1,000? Oh. See, our kids are wiser than us. They're like, "It's just paper. I got a stuffed animal. I don't want paper." We have this idea of being bought. Now, initially said, no, we can't be bought, right? Everybody says, "No, I can't be bought. $500,000 for my house, sold." We can be bought in some areas because we have this buyout mentality. And I think God knew our mentality, and he looked at us and he said, "Listen to me, you got a problem. Your problem is you've sinned. And it's created this separation between you and I. And so you're trying to fix this on your own. But what I'm telling you is what you're trying to use is perishable." And he uses gold or silver, but call it anything else. Anything else is perishable in trying to redeem us. It cannot do it. Gold and silver will not take care of my problem with God. Matter of fact, what is gold in heaven? It's asphalt. Right? That should clue us into God's economy. We view it here as one of the greatest things on the planet, and God says we're going to be walking on it. It's what we're going to be sweeping. I don't know if there'll be dirt in heaven. I'm not sure how that all works out. But we're definitely going to be walking on it. It's not that big a deal, is all he's telling us. And so we think in some ways that we can redeem ourselves, and what God says, the best stuff on the planet can't take care of your problem. Somebody offers you $500,000 for your house, and you'd say, "Yay!" Maybe some of you this morning just have this ability that none of us here really knew that you had, and you can take care of our physical problem for our country. So you're going to sign, what? Some of you are going to sign a check today for trillions of dollars, right? You're going to deal with our situation. You know what that makes you for this country? A redeemer, because you have paid the price, okay? Now, we can add up the trouble in our state, multiply that with the trouble in our economy, and get somebody to pay for that, and however much that comes to falls horribly short of any of us being able to take care of our sin problem. Gold and silver is perishable. Good works are perishable. Being a good neighbor is perishable. Loving your kids, perishable. None of that stuff is what grants any of us redemption. And so he's making clear here, you got a buyout mentality, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot buy yourself out of this situation. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We all need redemption, but I cannot redeem myself. And so that creates a problem for me. That creates a problem for you. That's why I need a redeemer. That's why I need somebody to handle something that I just cannot handle on my own. And that brings us here then to our redeemer. And third here and last this morning. So we've got a problem. And so here's redemption. I'm going to offer it to you because you're a sinner just as I am. And here's another part of the equation that's a problem for us. You got a problem and you can't fix it. You think you can. You want to work to redeem things and make yourself better and make me love you more. So you think that when you do good, I love you more. That's just not true. You can't earn my favor, love, or my redemption. And so you'd say, that leaves me in a bad situation. It would if it were not for what God has offered to us in Jesus. And so third here is that Jesus is our Redeemer. So who all has the sin problem? Everybody. Who is the Redeemer for? The Redeemer's for everybody. Okay, so that includes your spouse that's not here with you this morning, doesn't love Jesus and thinks you're wasting time and money just being here. That includes your children who grew up in not this building, but maybe with this church family, who have just kind of scattered and have overcommitted to other things or belittled church or not really thought much of God. It includes them. Redemption is for all people. And so I need to be mindful of that and be encouraged by that, that his redemption doesn't just take care of me because I'm overcommitted to the church. His redemption takes care of me because he says so. He's my Redeemer. He's the one doing the work within me. So if he's the Redeemer of all, it tells us a few things. First, it says that everybody needs it. So we've all sinned. The Bible makes that very clear. Everybody on the planet who's ever lived other than Jesus Christ has sinned. What's the result of my sin? The wages of sin is death. So that's what sin earns, okay? So you go to work, you work 20 hours a week, and you earn something, right? And you expect to get paid. You work 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week, you expect to get paid. What do you expect to get paid? Money. All right, give me the gold. What God says is through my sin, what I have earned in my 37 plus years is death. That's what has accrued. That's what has come as a result of my sin. And so very clearly, the Bible lays out that we are sinners, and the result of that sin is death. Now, here's the thing. If there's got to be death, it means somebody's got to die. And the price to pay for sin is death. And so it means you and I die. And yes, we do die physically, but it also means that we would die eternally separated from God. And so God wasn't willing for that to happen. I've sinned, which means I need redemption. I cannot redeem myself, which means I need somebody to offer something to me like we started with that I don't have. And enter Jesus. That's where he comes on the scene. That's where he begins to offer this trade of my sinfulness for his purity. His holiness for my filthiness. All right? I can take on his robe, his garment of white, of praise, of beauty, and in exchange give him my robe that's nothing but filthy rags. And in God's economy, in God's view, that's a good trade. That's a trade that he's ready and willing for any of us to make. So God demands that something must die as the result of sin. Can a sinner die for another sinner? No, because it has to be something pure, right? So you cannot die for me. You can. Maybe you take a bullet for me one day, but that doesn't earn you salvation or redemption from God. Vice versa. I can lay down my life. You can lay down your life for other people, but it does not give us what it is that we desperately need. And so how this comes, we've read about here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We're talking about Jesus here, okay? He says, listen, you've not been redeemed by following your father's advice, which is this worldly counsel. That's not how you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed, in verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The author of Hebrews also tells us some things about this blood that we also sung about this morning. Verse 11, Hebrews 9, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, as was the Old Testament practice, pointing to Christ. But he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained, what's the word there? Eternal redemption. And so what we've got here is this thing of perishable versus something that is eternal. And even if gold and silver could buy you some time, buy me some time, ultimately gold and silver is perishable. How long do I need to be redeemed? Forever. Have you ever thought about that? It's not just get me to heaven and then I'm okay. I need a redeemer forever, where God always views me through Jesus. Christ came as that high priest, and through his blood he offers eternal redemption. And then in Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, so also when we were children, he's talking about heirs here, and he was talking about children who own the estate, but they're still under trustees. They're not in charge, right? They're still under other authority. And so he says here, just as children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. So you can take that, Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, and you can write that in with what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 1. The empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers is exactly the same thing as the basic principles of the world. That's the connection between these two verses. So I was still a slave under that curse, which meant I'm trying to save myself. I'm trying to redeem myself. But when time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And so how do we get redemption today? It's through Jesus, and it's through his blood. Right? The Old Testament talks a lot about the sacrifices that were made. People daily were bringing goats, calves, pigeons to atone for their sins. And really all that was pointing to the one who would once for all pay for all sin for every person who needs to be redeemed. Jesus is the one who has come to do so. And he is the Redeemer, not just for those who are good or feel like they're good, but he's the Redeemer for all because everyone has sinned. So here's the picture this morning. Think of ourselves, okay, so we're doing good, we're living life well, and then you and I commit a crime and we end up behind bars. Okay, we're in prison. It takes a key to unlock that prison door. So can I unlock that prison door by paying off a guard? I shouldn't be able to. Can I open that door just by eating all of my whatever, macaroni and mashed potatoes and whatever you get in prison? Being a good inmate, does that let me out? No. I need somebody who has authority to set me free to come with the correct key and open that door and let me go. And that's exactly how it works here with God. The result of my sin is that I'm held captive. I'm a prisoner under my sin nature. And man, when I try to redeem myself, it's like putting that key of good works in there. And it's putting that key of money in there, and it just doesn't open the door. But there is a key. His name is Jesus. And when he fits that key slot and he unlocks that door, he sets anybody free who receives the offer. And whoever's been set free is free indeed. Right? So that's how it works today. We are all in need of redemption. None of us can redeem ourselves. To redeem yourself would be like trying to jump from here and touch the ceiling. Anybody do it? To redeem ourselves is trying to long jump the Grand Canyon. I wouldn't advise that. It's not going to work out well for you. To try to redeem myself is to go to the coast of California and try to swim to Japan. Any takers? No, all that stuff is humanly impossible. You might remember there was a gentleman who asked Jesus a question. Well, then how then can we be saved? And Jesus said, with man it is impossible. You might as well be trying to long jump the Grand Canyon, buddy. However, with God, all things are possible. God saw our need of redemption for everybody. He knew we'd try to redeem ourselves. That's why he said, you can't do it. And I'm giving you the correct key. His name is Jesus, and he'll set you free if you'll just believe in him and receive the offer that he's holding out to you. Redemption is for all. And so maybe you, as you sit here this morning, you're thinking to yourself, man, I've never truly been redeemed. Who sinned? Me. All right? That means there's a price to pay. Whose price is it to pay? Mine. But redeem says, I have paid for you. I am your ransom. And so Jesus, when he died on the cross, he paid for your sin. He paid for my sin so that if we would humble ourselves, we could receive from him forgiveness. And really, that's the bottom line there, friend. It's about humility. And trying to redeem myself with God is just all about pride. Thinking I can do it on my own power. I don't need you. I can take care of this. We're going to be square and I'll make sure that I do my part. When what we need today is get rid of that self-deceiving type of mentality. Receive the word of God. Humble ourselves and ask Jesus to redeem us. So maybe this morning you'd like to receive his redemption. Maybe today you've never asked Jesus to save you from your sins. His promise is that if we will receive, if we will believe in him, knowing that we're sinners and trusting that Jesus is the Savior who can set us free, that he'll do so. Not because of anything that you do. Right? In spite of our best days, he will save us.